Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 11th day of December 2023. And I owe an extra measure of thanks and gratitude to my guest today, because he is conducting this interview live from Israel. And right now it's just a little after 11 p.m. and this interview is going to be continuing through 1 a.m. his time. So I do thank him for so desiring to be on this broadcast that he was willing to put up with the time difference. And the man that I am speaking of is David Zadok, pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation in Kenat, Israel, and director of Hagefen Publishing. And he was born in Israel, lived in Iran, and studied in the United States of America. And today we're going to be addressing an Israeli Reformed Baptist pastor's report on the current conflict between Israel and Hamas. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor David Zadok.
Good afternoon. It's a privilege for me to be on your show for the first time as well.
And I hope I did not butcher the pronunciation of your last name.
That's okay. Having lived in different places, certainly in the States, I'm used to butchering my name, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's okay. It's fine.
Well, first of all, let our listeners know about the Grace and Truth Congregation in Kenat, Israel. And did I pronounce that right? The city in Israel, is it Kenat?
Yes, it's Kenat, but yeah, it's near, not very far from Ashdod and Gedera. That's the city that we live in. It's in the kind of central south of Israel, about half an hour south of Tel Aviv and about 35 minutes west of Jerusalem.
And that congregation used to be located somewhere else in Israel, correct?
Yes, it used to be located in Rishon LeZion in the facility of Hagefen Publishing. And now the church is actually hosting our publishing in the basement.
Okay, I might want to direct our listeners after this live show. You may have interest in hearing an interview I recently did on November 1st with the former pastor of that church, Baruch Moos. We unfortunately, because I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that we could hear jets flying over where he was staying, and there were audible bombs and so forth exploding, but the audio to that is not pristine. It is a little choppy on that recording. We apologize for that. That was beyond my control, so I just wanted to give you the heads up when you listen to that program, God willing, later on. But give us more detail about Grace and Truth Congregation.
Well, you mentioned Baruch Moos. He was the founding pastor of Grace and Truth. The church was established in 1976. It was one of the first congregations, and it's not the first one, but one of the first one. And the congregation was established based somewhat on the Westminster Confession as well as the London Baptist Confession. That was when the church started. At first, it was in Rehovot and in homes and in a rented home, and eventually we moved into the facility that Geffen Publishing provided for the congregation after having a lot of issues with the anti-missionary Orthodox Jewish and others.
Now, is the congregation still the only Reformed Baptist church in Israel, or have you been successful in planting any other congregations?
No, thankfully there are more congregations, there are more Reformed congregations in Israel at the moment. There is about 9, our congregation is probably the largest of the 9, and there is a fellowship of the Israeli Reformed pastors that I have the privilege of chairing it, and we are actually working on an updated confession, a Reformed confession that is based on all of the historical Reformed confession, including Westminster, Heidelberg, as well as London Baptist confession.
Oh, wow, great. Well, if anybody wants more information on this congregation, you can go to graceandtruth.org.il for Israel. Grace and, it's the full word and, not the symbol, graceandtruth.org.il for Israel. And we will, God willing, be repeating that later on in the program. And tell us about Geffen Publishing.
Well, Geffen Publishing actually in Israel was established in 1974. Its founding start actually goes back to Robert Murray McChain, the famous Scottish pastor, who at some point he felt that the church has a responsibility in bringing the gospel to the Jewish people that for almost 2,000 years has failed to do so. As a result, he asked his denomination, the Church of Scotland, Presbyterian Church of Scotland, to do a kind of a mission of inquiry. He came with Andrew Bonner and another. The three of them were here. They were about, they went to various parts of the Middle East. They were in Egypt. Later on, they came to what was Palestine, because the state of Israel was not established yet in 1948. And when he went back, he gave the report, and as a result of the report, they set up a society which was called the Society for Progression of the Christian Faith among the Jewish people. And interestingly enough, when he went back to Scotland, he realized that his congregation in Dundee, during the time that he was trying to find ways to bring the gospel to the Jewish people, his congregation grew almost twice in size. And he attributed it to the promise of God that I would bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So our beginning of Geffen Publishing goes back to Robert McChain, and we are very proud and thankful for that heritage. Some years ago, I had the honor and the privilege of preaching in that same church of McChain in Scotland.
Wow.
That was a great honor.
Yes, I always feel guilt about my own life when I hear the name Robert Murray McChain, because I'm 61 years old and he accomplished more in his 29 years on this life than I will ever accomplish while I am alive. The Lord took him home very young.
Yeah, well, it's not only you. I mean, many of us, we feel that, he's done so much more in his those 29 years than we can do in 5-6 life spans.
That's right. Well, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest on the program, we always have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they may have been raised and the providential circumstances that our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd love to hear a summary of your story.
Okay. Well, it can be the summary can be a bit longer, but I would try to do a short version.
I wouldn't rush through it. We do have 2 hours, so I'm looking forward to hear this story. I could always have you back too if we run out of time talking about the crisis there between Israel and Hamas. So go for it.
Well, I think you mentioned the sovereignty of God. I definitely can. Relate my testimony to the sovereignty of God in relation to historical outworks of God, how God uses huge historical events in the lives of individuals to accomplish his task. So my background is that my parents, for many, many generations, are Iraqi Jews.
Huh.
And Iraqi Jews... or Babylonian Jews, I should say, are the only Jewish people that for 2,500 years had a consistent existence outside of Jerusalem in the same place.
Wow.
Of course, it goes back to the Babylonian exile. However, in the Second World War II, something very similar to what happened in Germany, the Kristallnacht happened in Iraq. Between the night of June 20th, 21st, I think in 1942, if I recall, in that one night, about 120 Jews were murdered, synagogues,
wow.
homes were burned, and businesses were ransomed. And that was kind of the beginning of the end of the existence of the Jewish people in Iraq.
Completely?
Almost completely. It took a while. Eventually, everybody came out. And so part of my family escaped to the neighboring country, Iran, basically crossed the border. And other part of the family came to what to become later on the State of Israel. That included both my parents, my family in Iraq. They were a very prominent family for many years, and basically they left with nothing. So my grandmother, in her lifetime, twice she became a refugee in our terms that we use today. The first time was from Iraq. And the second time actually was from Iran. So my parents are Iraqi Jews, both of them. When I was 3 years old, my mom decided to take my sister, my brother, and myself to visit our relative that she haven't seen for ages in Iran. It was supposed to be a 2 months, but we ended up being there for 9 months. And we stay with my aunt and uncle. My aunt is the sister of my father. She was married to an Iranian. For some years, they didn't have a children. At the end of the 9 months, my mom decided that in order to save their marriage and help, decided to allow me to stay, after consultation, of course, with my father, in Iran with my uncle and aunt. So from age of three, I grew up with my uncle and aunt. I was basically on a student visa. Every 2-3 years, I would come to Israel to visit my parents and my sister and brother, together with my kind of adopted, quote-unquote, parents. And then, of course, in 1973, there was the Yom Kippur War, exactly 50 years ago. And in that war, my uncle, he lost his nephew in the Golan Heights. He was in a tank unit. He was killed the second day of the war, but for about almost 10 days, they did not know what happened to him. At first, they thought he's POW. Later, they thought he's missing in action. And after 10 days, the word came to us that he was killed. And that impacted my uncle so much that he said he would do everything he can that I would not serve in the Israeli army. And 3 years fast forward, 1976, the Islamic Revolution started. And as things were getting worse, I was contacted by the Israeli consulate saying that I need to be ready with a small suitcase. And they will call me, and within 4 hours, I need to come to a certain place. And from there, they would airlift all Israelis back to Israel. And of course, when that phone call came, my uncle got very nervous. He tried to do everything he can to get me out of Iran before I would have to come to Israel. And in God's sovereignty, through some relatives, they were able to get a student application for me in San Diego, California, in a high school that had a dormitory. I was 16 and a half. And so at the age of almost 17, I flew halfway across the globe to the United States to complete my studies. So I'm sure you've heard of the Wandering Jew. So by the age of 17, I've lived already in three different countries, in Israel, in Iran, and now in the States. And it was there that through the Ministry of Navigators and also the OPC Church, that it's actually a PCA church now in San Diego called New Life, and in the San Diego State University, for the first time I heard the gospel. I remember very clearly in that evening, the Navigators, they had a Bible study. It was Friday night. My English was not so great. Not that now is much better. It is much, somewhat better, of course. But I remember that in one night, in those hour and a half, I heard the name Jesus more than I ever heard in my whole life. And after the meeting, thankfully, two of the gentlemen, Tom Dorcas and Alan Pritzlaff, together with my cousin, that about a year ago he passed away, sadly, they sat down and they shared the gospel with me. They started with Genesis chapter 3 and later on verse 15 and to other prophecies. And eventually they came to the New Testament, telling me that Jesus was actually the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. And in my mind, I say, that can't be, because I always grew up knowing that Jesus is the prophet of the Christians, Muhammad is the prophet of the Muslims, and Moses is ours, and those three are mutually exclusive. They don't have anything in common. But they told me, if you want to know more, read the Gospel of John. And somehow, miraculously, when I came to my my dormitory room, I had a Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, that was given to me, and I thought of throwing it, but I left it because I didn't think it's right to throw a Bible with the Old Testament in the garbage.
would have been all right if it was just a New Testament, I guess.
Yes, definitely. Back then. Part of God's sovereignty was that how I had that, and I started reading. That was the first time I'm opening the New Testament. And then for about, I would say, probably about, it was 6-7 months, that I would read a passage, from the Gospel of John, and it would bring back some of the things that I heard during my time that I attended the synagogue, and some of the stories that my grandmother from the Old Testament used to tell me. It was like God is putting a big puzzle, and each time another piece is falling into the place. And of course, Tom Dorcas, my dear friend, who thankfully is still alive, we're in contact, constant contact. He kept coming to the dormitory and visiting, continuing to answering the question and sharing the gospel. And one of the things that he did was actually he took the Bible that, you know, I was reading, the Old and the New Testament, and he put it on the floor and he stepped on it.
Wow.
I almost wanted to choke him to death.
Because I felt that dishonor. The first sign of a truly born again Christian.
And he really made a point, and the point was that it's not the book that it's holy, but what's in it, the words. And I think some weeks after that, the Lord converted me, gave me a new heart, and later on I was baptized in the New Life OPC Church by Pastor George Meladen, who passed away a few months ago. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend the memorial, but I spoke by Zoom in the service. And of course, after that, I got very excited. I wrote a very long letter in Farsi to my uncle and aunt, and in Hebrew to my parents, telling them that I have found the Messiah.
Praise God.
And I thought that they would be happy. It was, remember 4 or 5 pages with all the prophecies from the Old Testament. And I never heard back. Mm. So I sent them another letter. Back then there wasn't emails. The second time I got an answer, so I knew they got the email. They got my mail and my letter, but nothing about all that I've shared. And about a month later, one of my uncles came to LA. We had dinner. At the end of the dinner with some folks, some of the families, he told me, "Well, David, you probably think you've done a great thing by becoming a Christian. Let me tell you how we feel about it." Probably would have been less shameful for us if you have become a drug addict.
Wow.
Or even a criminal in prison than to become a Christian.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to say. And I literally turned red. I just couldn't I don't remember what I responded. I don't remember if I responded or said anything profound. But that was the beginning of some of the challenges. Later on, they wanted to pull me out of my studies. I studied at San Diego State University, the double major in computers and business administration. But by God's grace, they allowed me to stay. And that's where Navigators, Men to Men, and Scripture Memory and Bible Study came in. So when I came back to Israel, I was well discipled. But eventually, my uncle and aunt kicked me out of the house. They said, "We don't have a son. You're dead." And when my wife and I got married, nobody came to our wedding. But eventually, the relationship healed to some degree. So that's really my story. I just want to add another sentence or two just to talk back with what I started about the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
I think we always talk about sovereignty of God. We think about his sovereignty in our lives, in the life of our family, or even our country. But I think when I look back on my story, I'm amazed at how God uses various historical worldwide events, like you know, Second World War II and what happened to the Iraqi Jews after 2,500 years, the 73 war, and the Islamic Revolution that we suffer from it so much even in these days. And all of this, he used it so that he brought me from Israel to Iran to the United States to hear the gospel. Now, of course, all of these huge events with huge widespread impact didn't happen for me. But it's amazing, or I'm amazed, how he uses that in my life to bring me to the gospel. I mean, God could have used other means, but it's, amazing and awesome to think of his sovereignty, how it mingles in our individual lives.
Amen. And I want you to pick up where you left off there, because I have some other questions to ask you about your salvation. But we have to go to our first commercial break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own for my guest today, David Zadok, who is pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComm Group.com. That's SecureComm Group.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing opportunity. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they're making their purchase, whether it is a purchase of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created. Whatever it is, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits. I'm urging you, please, if you have any intention to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Visit that site soon and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Especially visit very soon if you have any intention to purchase jewelry for someone you love for Christmas or for Valentine's Day coming up in the year ahead. That's RoyalDiadem.com. We are now back with my guest, David Zadok, a pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel. And we are eventually going to be focusing on the theme of his assessment, his report of the conflict going on between Israel and Hamas. But we are still in the midst of hearing about his salvation testimony. If you have a question of your own, please send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. David, just out of curiosity, when you came to Christ, at that time, what was your Jewish faith, if any, as far as the intensity of it? Was it just a nominal faith like many, many people around the world who profess to be Jewish? Their faith is nominal. They may only keep a kosher home during high holy days and so on. They may only go to the synagogue during high holy days. And it's interesting that I know a number of people who were raised in nominal Jewish homes who did not keep kosher homes, very rarely went to the synagogue, didn't have much time for the Hebrew scriptures at all. But when they converted to Christianity, they were still, the family was still outraged. And I know of one case where a mother sat Shiva for her child, her son, as if he was dead after he converted to Christianity. And the irony is, it's when he converted to Christianity that he fell in love with the Hebrew scriptures more than ever and delved into them more deeply than ever before. And he was even, one could say, a lot more Jewish after becoming a Christian than he was when he was a professed Jew. But if you could tell us where you were.
Yeah, I would say that I probably was more of a nominal, even though we attended a second synagogue regularly. I attended a Jewish school in Tehran. In fact, I remember there was always a policeman standing at the entrance of the of our school, and it was a school that had a synagogue inside. And I think my family, you know, they would keep kosher very rigorously, even though we were in Iran. They could buy kosher meat and another dairy. My family here in Israel were certainly, my dad was more religious in a sense of attending synagogue regularly. He was very much, I would say, not a nominal Jew, but he wasn't an Orthodox, but more traditional Jew. I think with me, I really didn't have a clear understanding of the Jewish faith. And of course, Judaism has a lot of, it's much more than the Hebrew scriptures. It's a lot of it stories and what we would call the oral law, Torah Sheba'al Peh. And so that was it. And I think that really, as you mentioned about your friend, it definitely was the case with me that only after, you know, coming to faith in Christ, that the Lord really put the desire and the love for the scriptures and certainly for the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, the Old Testament, that quite few of the passages I remember citing them and reading them in synagogue or in various festivals, I mean, like Passover and others, all of a sudden, not only they had a fuller meaning, but as Paul says, you know, in Colossians about, you know, the shadow and that the substance in Christ, I saw the fulfillment. And that, I think, was part of the process that God worked in my life during those 6-7 months. I mentioned about the puzzle. Each time another piece would fall in place, and those scriptures would make sense, kind of in the true meaning in Christ. So I would say that I probably kind of escaped one stage in a sense of, because, you know, in a normal case, you know, you would have Jewish people that they are very well versed in the Hebrew scriptures. And then when they come to faith, a lot of that makes sense to them. With me, you know, I was only about 17 years. I mean, I was a teenager. And so I didn't have much understanding, or I should say any deep understanding of the Old Testament. And I kind of jumped over that right into the fulfillment in Christ and the New Testament and how Christ fulfilled that. And it was only much later in my Christian life that I saw the full picture of God's redemptive plan of salvation, beginning in Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation.
Now, the anti-Semitism that is professed by some who call themselves Christian, like even many in the Nazi Party in World War II, even neo-Nazis, they may use the term Christian, although Hitler hated Christianity, just viewed it as a weak, pathetic, and impotent branch of Judaism, really. And many of the hierarchy in the Nazi Party were involved in the occult and so on, pagan ideology and idolatry. But is that the reason why there is such a visceral revulsion over someone from a Jewish background becoming a Christian? It is odd because you regularly hear about nominal Jewish people being atheists or agnostic. You hear about some of them dabbling in some form of Buddhism or other false religions, and there isn't the uproar over that like when you hear about people coming to Christ from the Jewish background. And I'm wondering if that, in your opinion, is the reason for the shock and horror. But it also still puzzles me, because it would seem that would require a complete lack of ignorance about the many, many, many compassionate, kind-hearted, true, regenerate Christians throughout history who have sought to rescue and protect the Jews from harm, even some that lost their lives in the Netherlands and so on. Corrie ten Boom's family is just a notable example. But if you could, tell us about what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think that probably there are two or three issues here. The first thing is that, you know, we have to realize that from a Jewish perspective, everybody who is not Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist is a Christian. So to them, for example, you know, that you think of the Crusaders, you think of the Inquisition time, you think of the pogroms in Russia, and of course you mentioned much of the Nazis. To them, all of these were Christians, and so you can see that one aspect of that you know, these are that's horrible things that have been done to us by Christians. You know, I think I might have mentioned that, you know, my family kept reminding me that more Jewish people and more Jews were killed by Christians than by Muslims, which is true. I mean, you just add 6 million just in Germany in the Second World War II. That's far, far more than any Jews being killed by others, by Muslims or any other. I think that's one part of it. The second part of that, related to that, is I think most Jewish people don't really know anything about Jesus, except that he's the prophet of Christians. He stole the Old Testament from us. And many think that, sadly, that, you know, he was, obviously they don't believe in him as the in the virgin birth or as the Son of God, but they think that he was a bastard. So that's two part of that. You know, they don't know that he was born as a Jew, lived, died, and raised as a Jew. In fact, many people here say that the best kept secret in Israel is that Jesus was a Jew.
Wow.
And then the third part, I think that it's we can see that throughout. I think anti-Semitism, anti-Israeli that we are seeing nowadays as well, whether it's by quote-unquote Christians or others, is really part of a spiritual war. A spiritual war that we know started in Genesis chapter 3, and it would continue until Christ's return. And we see that battle that started in Genesis chapter 3, we see already in Genesis 4, the first murder. Throughout the Old Testament history, we see how Satan used people to try to destroy the seed of the woman. It was in Egypt, later on, to the various nations, Edomites and the Philistines, and then later on with Haman in the book of Esther. And that story continues. And so we have to realize that it is a spiritual battle against the people of God and against the seed of the woman. And Satan is trying, as he tried in so many ways, to destroy Christ. He's also trying to destroy his people and his witness, and often attacks the church.
Yes, he does. Now, what makes the story even more complicated is that, I don't know if you experience it in Israel, but here in the United States, we who are Reformed, who are not dispensationalist, who see much more of a continuity between Israel and the church than non-Reformed Christians do, most of us who are Reformed believe that Israel is fulfilled in the church or extended with the church, whereas dispensationalists and others who are not Reformed tend to think of them as completely separate entities and have very often labeled us who are Reformed anti-Semitic, ironically, just because we have a different view of eschatology and the actual role of the physical nation in the Middle East in biblical prophecy. So I was just wondering what your thoughts and experiences were and are on that.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think the worst kind of anti-Semitism is those people who are not willing to share the gospel with the Jewish people.
Right.
In fact,
right.
In a wider point, I think any people who are trying to kind of guard, quote-unquote, the gospel from any group of people mm-hmm. are committing the worst crime.
That's right. Like John Heggie, for instance.
Exactly. And few others. So I think that's one aspect of it. I think the other thing is that, God has made a covenant with us. You know, I certainly believe in the covenants, and as it says in Romans 9:10 and 11, it really brings us the point that while in the time when Jesus came, we as Jewish people, for the most part, we rejected our Messiah, and yet God did not reject us, you know, because the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And I think that if we read truly Romans 9:10 and 11, especially, you know, Apostle Paul, or I should say Rabbi Shaul, in a sense, he really builds in those three chapters his logic in a very great, inspired words. After all, he was a rabbi and he wrote in the with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because it starts with telling about his desire for the Jewish people to come to faith. And then he talks about the sovereignty of God in salvation. You know, he talks about the clay and the potter. And it talks about, you know, God saying, you know, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And then from there, he comes to speaking about that there would be time that all Israel would be saved. And I think that really, when we look deeply, I think that Paul was trying to answer a question to some of his audience, quote unquote, asking the question, well, if God is sovereign, how is it that the Jewish people, of all the people, they rejected the Messiah? I mean, Jesus said he has come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and yet we rejected him. And so he says that God is not done. But I think that amazing thing happens if we think for a second, hypothetically, what would have happened if at the time of Christ, we as Jewish people would have embraced him as our Messiah? Of course, this is a hypothetical question. I think that most likely what would have happened is that faith in Christ would have remained within the geographical and ethnical boundaries of the Jewish people and the land of Israel, as it was till the time of Christ. But actually, because of coming of Christ and the rejection of the Jewish people, the gospel went out to the whole world.
Amen.
So in a sense, and again, this whole program, we're talking about sovereignty of God. In his sovereignty, he allowed the Jewish people to reject Christ so that the gospel would go from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and the remotest part of the world. In fact, tomorrow night in our midweek Bible study, I would be finishing going to the book of Acts in the chapter 28.
And in fact, could you pick right up where you left off in the book of Acts, chapter 28? We have to go to our midway break.
Sure.
Please be patient with us, folks. The midway break is longer than the other breaks. And please use this time to respond to our advertisers, keeping in mind that they are absolutely essential to the survival of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Too, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, do not forget that solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a sales crisis, a huge slump in sales. So since they are a vital sponsor of this program financially, I urge you to go to solid-ground-books.com today and make a purchase. If it's your first time, make that first time purchase today. And if you've purchased many times, maybe even regularly, please make today your largest purchase than ever before, if indeed you can afford to do so. And please keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by making one of our most vital advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, might I recommend, in light of today's discussion, they also have in stock among their many, many, many other books, The Hiding Place, the 35th Anniversary Edition, by Corey Ten Boom with a foreword by Johnny Erickson Tata. So I would highly recommend that you purchase The Hiding Place and many other books from solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to my discussion with my guest today, David Zadok of Grace and Truth Church of Kanat, Israel, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please remember, I never want anybody in my audience giving less money than you normally give to your own church, to your church on the Lord's Day, just to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't cut into the monies that you have set aside to give to your own church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. Never do that. And also, if you are really struggling to survive, please wait until you're back on your feet financially before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is clear that we are primarily to use our finances to support our church and our family, and supporting my radio show is not a command of God. But if you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, I would ask of you to use some of that money with us to help us survive if you really love this show. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church, a Christ-honoring, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Grace and Truth Congregation in Kanat, Israel, well, I have lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I have helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you are without a solid church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to David Zadok, pastor of Grace and Truth Church in Kanat, Israel. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us a first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Right before the break, David, you may remember you were just mentioning that you are in the midst of a Bible study on Acts 28, and if you want to pick up where you left off there.
Acts chapter 1 starts, when Christ is commissioning the disciples, saying they shall wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and then they shall be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the remotest parts of the world. And we can obviously divide the book of Acts into those parts. The first seven chapters is Jerusalem, and later on goes to Judea, and then Samaria and Judea, and later on to the remotest parts. And we get to the last chapter, book of Acts, Paul sitting in Rome, even though he said that he has washed his hand, he would go now to Gentiles. He's sitting with the Jewish people in Rome, arguing with them, showing them from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, that Christ is the Messiah. So I think that when we look at that Paul is really showing that there was a purpose in the Jewish people rejecting the Messiah so that the gospel can go to the Gentiles. And it's no wonder that, again, Paul, Rabbi Shaul, as we may call him, the Jewish rabbi, that studied under the Gamliel, he was the one who brought the gospel to the Gentiles, and it was also Peter who shared the gospel with the first Gentile, Cornelius, that was converted. And God has to appear to him three times in a vision in order to convince him that the gospel is also for the Gentiles. So God is not done, in a sense, Christ has fulfilled the promises. But in one sense, the church hasn't replaced Israel in a sense that still there is time for Israel, the Jewish people, to come to faith to the Messiah.
Amen. And God has his elect and always has had his elect from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, including Jews.
Yes. Especially the Jews. After all, the gospel is first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, or to the Greek, as it says in Romans.
Yes. And in regard to your eschatological understanding of the state of Israel today, do you believe that even though it is a secular state, it is neither religiously Jewish or Christian or otherwise officially, that it is still a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, or do you believe that it is a valuable thing to pray for the state in which you live, because we want to see the conversion of the lost wherever they live in the world, and perhaps as far as a sign goes, what greater sign of God's power and grace and mercy than to in mass save Jews in Israel, which is something that, as far as I know, most Reformed people, regardless of their eschatology, are praying and hoping for and would delight in seeing. But tell us about your own understanding of the state of Israel in biblical prophecy.
Yeah, I do believe that the coming of 1948 of Israel as a state, it is a fulfillment of the prophecies. I can't necessarily point you to one passage and say, here, this is the fulfillment that God says in the 20th centuries or in such a time, Israel would become a state. However, there are two things that I think is important. We sometimes, again, I'm talking in a wider perspective. In God's economy, the land is not important, even though land has a lot of importance. So Christ didn't die for the land, even though he died in the land. God is concerned about people and about bringing them to the saving knowledge of his son. And so the land and the state of Israel are definitely being used in fulfilling that calling. I often talk about how God has restored the Hebrew language and the land of Israel in order to pave the way for the restoration of the people. The Hebrew language for almost 2,000 years was not a spoken language. Only in the 19th century, a very amazing Lithuanian Jew by the name of Eliezer ben Yehuda, he started in the kind of revolution or restoration of the modern Hebrew. He was criticized by his countrymen. In fact, he had to leave Jerusalem and went to Tel Aviv. And there he worked out the Hebrew language, and all of a sudden the Hebrew language became a spoken language and a common language, not just for reading the scripture and the other writings, but the vernacular language. And then, of course, in 1948, when Israel became a state, God bringing us back to the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the two things, the restoration of the language and land, enabled the restoration of the people. So because of that, very soon, the church among the Jewish people was once again reestablished. In fact, I think it's interesting to think to look at the statistics, even though we need to always be careful with statistics, we can play around with them. But in 1948, when Israel became a state, in the land of Israel, there were 800,000 Jewish people. And at that time, there were roughly maybe about 24, 25 Jewish Christians, or Jewish believers, Messianic Jews, however we may use that term. About 75 years later, the Jewish population of Israel today, I mean, the Israel population is a little bit less than 10 million, but only 22% are Arabs. But even if we take the whole population of 10 million, and today some statistics say that there is maybe about 30,000 believers, Jewish believers in Israel. So when you compare those two figures, the Jewish population in the land of Israel in 75 years has grown about roughly 12, 15 times or 15-fold. However, the number of believers, even if we take only 24,000 or 25,000, from 24 to 25,000, has grown 1,000-fold.
Wow.
So when you look at those two figures, again, they're not 100%, the exact figures, but that's roughly the numbers, you can see the importance, not just this of the state of Israel, but the promises that we read about in Romans that Paul talks about, in this way all Israel shall be saved. Israel today has the largest number of Jewish people. In other words, the majority of Jewish people today live in a tiny piece of land called the state of Israel, the land of Israel. Piece of land that everybody wants a piece of it. but it is this land that you have Jewish people from all over the world that are now all of a sudden speaking one language, and they are concentrated in one tiny land. I have to tell you a short story about our older daughter. She's actually now serving in the reserve. She's almost 26. When she served in the military, she was in the education corps.
Mm-hmm.
And her job was teaching Hebrew to new immigrant soldiers. At the end of the three-month Ulpan that they were graduating in the military, at one of those events, the base commander invited my wife and I, Etty and I, to attend. And in that time, there were, I think if I remember, about 140 soldiers that they finished their Hebrew course in the military as part of their first training and the boot camp. And those 140 soldiers, I think they were from about 40 or 42 different countries. And when you look at, and when you think of this, here are Jewish people from 42 different countries. They come learning the Hebrew language, and they would speak that language. And when we share the gospel, and through our publishing and through our evangelistic books in Hebrew, when those books come to them, no matter where they are from those 40-some countries, they can hear the gospel in the language that they can read and understand. And I think that that's the amazing thing that we need to focus on and pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, so that the time would come that we would once again become the light of the nations.
Amen. Let me ask you a couple of questions about things you already said. When you said that the efforts to restore the use of Hebrew were rejected in Jerusalem, were you speaking of the modern Hebrew? I mean, was not Hebrew used in the worship services in the synagogue?
Yeah, it definitely was used in the synagogue. As I mentioned, I think maybe briefly, it was used to read the Hebrew scriptures,
right,
and various prayers. However, much of the prayers in the synagogues are actually in Aramaic. In fact, the Babylonian Talmud, which is much higher even than the Jerusalem Talmud, is in Aramaic. Many of the prayers, you know, when a Jewish person dies, there is a special prayer that we offer. It's called the Kaddish. The Kaddish, all of that prayer that it's recited, is an Aramaic. And there are still Orthodox, very Orthodox religious people that they don't speak Hebrew, because they believe that this is the language, this is a holy language that,
right,
God has spoken to us. We cannot use it. That was one why they thought that he cannot revive the Hebrew language. It cannot become a common language.
Yes, in fact the Hasidics, I think, many of the Hasidics still believe that, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why they speak Yiddish,
right,
many of them.
That's
they don't,
right,
speak Hebrew. And by the way, it's interesting that many of our curse words in Hebrew initially were taken from Arabic and English. We use some of your curse words.
Our contribution to the Jewish people.
Sadly, we have now developed also our own curse words in Hebrew, but we still use many of the English terms.
Now, it is fascinating that when I was interviewing your friend and former pastor, Baruch Ma'oz, he said that he is, I believe, I can't remember if he said he's still in the midst of it or completed it, but translating the entire canon of the scripture, including the Hebrew scriptures, into modern Hebrew?
Yes, that's actually one of the flag projects of HaGefen.
Okay.
And that... we translated first the Old Testament into modern Hebrew. It's a 5-volume.
For the first time ever in history, correct?
Yes. It's called the Edut. And just as we are speaking, the New Testament of that same series is being printed. So in about 2 weeks' time, before the end of the year, we would have all of the Old and the New Testament in modern Hebrew. Of course, the New Testament has been existed in modern Hebrew by the Bible Society, and we have the Delitzsch translation that was done by Frank Delitzsch, the German. But when he translated the New Testament, the Hebrew language still was not used. There is a project now done by the Trinitarian Bible Society in England, in London, that they are updating the Delitzsch translation. But the Old Testament has never been translated into modern Hebrew. That was a project that Baruch initiated and worked on it and continues to finish the New Testament. It took us about 16 years because we wanted to make sure that everything is translated accurately and as accurate as we can. And it's mainly for teenagers, but many of the immigrants who came to Israel, they're using that even now to learn Hebrew because they're reading the scriptures and they're reading the modern Hebrew.
Okay.
In fact, we're now developing an audio Bible of that text.
Oh, great. Well, who knows what the Lord may do in his sovereignty by drawing the curiosity of non-Christian Jews to not only want to read the Hebrew scriptures in modern Hebrew, but also perhaps the curiosity will lead them to delve into the New Testament in modern Hebrew, and who knows what the Lord will do.
That's our hope and prayer.
Yes, amen. Okay, we have Holbrook in Peacock, Alabama, who said, having heard your belief that the modern state of Israel is a part of the unfolding of biblical prophecy today, do you believe to disagree with you on that is anti-Semitic? That is something that a lot of people would say. A lot of Christians, especially if they're dispensationalists, would say that. And maybe a great portion, if nearly the entirety of the Messianic movement would say that. They would accuse people of anti-Semitism, even if they have a passion and a love for the Jewish people. They want to see them come to Christ, and so on. But if they disagree eschatologically, they disagree with the place of the state of Israel in biblical prophecy, they're anti-Semitic. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would be very careful in using the term anti-Semitic. I think that, again, to me, the most important thing, and again, many people may disagree with me, the most important thing is bringing the gospel to the Jewish people.
Right.
The land of Israel, I do believe that it's a fulfillment of God's prophecy, but more important than that, I mean, there are many, many prophecies that have been fulfilled and in Christ and are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled. But I think what has not yet been fulfilled is that all Israel shall be saved. And I think that God can use the state of Israel and using mightily the state of Israel. But by the way, we talked about the Jewish people in Israel, but there is a large number of Jewish people outside of Israel that are also coming to faith in Christ in other countries, particularly in the U.S., but not only there. I think it was in one of Joel Rosenberg's reports on All Israel News that he estimated that maybe there is about close to 1 million Jewish people. Today, the Jewish population is about, the worldwide Jewish population is roughly about 14.5 million. And 1 million, that's a significant number. So God is using all the means to fulfill his promises.
Okay, we have Blanche in Coconut Creek, Florida. And Blanche says, how did you get along with your Muslim neighbors when living in Iraq and Iran before you were forced out of Iraq and then when you wound up living in Iran?
Yeah, well, I have to say that I never actually lived in Iraq. I do like to visit there one day. I don't know if that would be possible with the current situation. But in Iran, when I was living there, we have a great, great relationship with our Muslim neighbors. We had some Armenians as well in our neighborhood. We lived in Tehran, which was a large city. And we lived under the reign of the Shah, the previous king or the last king before the Islamic Revolution and before Khomeini came. And the relationship was great. I mean, my uncle, he was a merchant in the famous Tehran Bazaar. He used to bring goods from communist China and sell them in the bazaar. Most of his customers were Muslim. We didn't feel any threat. You know, we would go to synagogue freely. I would go to school by myself, ride the bus. And we had a great relationship, And I think that even today, if we look at the country of Iran, which, by the way, as I'm sure you know, Iran and the Iranians is the largest growing number of the church is the largest growing in that country and among the Iranians. But today, I think most of the Iranians, they don't hate Israel. In fact, I have many Iranian friends outside of Iran, in Turkey and other places, that often, you know, during the Day of Independence, they send me, you know, flags of Israel and congratulations and many other things. And even now during this horrific war, many of them writing and telling me that they are praying for us and they are standing with us.
And well, let's get back to, or should I say, move forward to the primary theme of our show is your observations and assessments and updates on what is now happening in your midst during this horrific conflict between Israel and Hamas. Tell us, starting from the beginning, of what your reaction was when you first began to hear of the abominations that have been occurring, the brutal, satanic way that Hamas has kidnapped, tortured, raped, and murdered not only Israeli men, but women and children. Tell us about this conflict from your point of view right now.
Yeah, well, actually, when it happened, I just on Saturday, October 7th, our church evangelist and myself just landed in Helsinki in Finland, and we flew Friday night. We arrived there at about 6 a.m. We went and we said, let's sleep for 2-3 hours, and then we get ready for our first meeting. And about 7:30, I received a call from Etty, my wife, and she said, David, have you heard? There is a war. And I just woke up after about an, I don't know, hour and a half of sleep. And I said, we're here in Finland, because I immediately thought of Russia and Finland. You know, they have a common border and the war with Russia and Ukraine. I said, we're here in Finland. She said, no, here in Gaza, in Israel. And she relayed that to me. And then about half an hour later, one of our elders sent a message to the church, to our WhatsApp group, that due to the situation, we have to cancel the meeting. And it was then that I realized, you know, we are doing anything we can to come back. So we came back on Tuesday, early in the morning. And as I was driving back, and I saw the waves of the cars of the reservists, near, not very far from our home, and everything that I was hearing, I realized that in 2 days I have landed in a totally different country. And it took us about, I would say, 2-3 days to realize what's going on. We immediately set up an emergency fund in our church through the generous support of many friends. We've been able to support various war efforts, but the horrific of this war, I think, in the within few days, our president Herzog said that since Holocaust, there has not been one day in which so many Jewish people have been killed so brutally. And I think only within, after 2-3 weeks, the atrocities were coming out as videos were being found of the baby being put in the oven, a pregnant woman that they opened her belly and took the baby out and shot her and the baby. And just the things that you hear, you you think, well, this cannot be human. This cannot be people who've been created in the image of God. I mean, any war is horrible. In war, there is always innocent people who die. Most of the wars that the world has faced till, I would say, 10, 20 years ago, has been armies against armies. But we are facing, even since 2005, when Israel left Gaza, both military, of course, and civilians, was one of the most painful periods in our modern history, where Israeli soldiers have to uproot Jews from their homes, from their synagogues. And yet, very soon, Gaza, that was ruled and given back, and very soon Hamas took over and they murdered the Fatah and the people by throwing them sometimes from the third floor alive. They've been shooting endless rockets over cities of Israel, targeting.
You know, those missiles have been landed targeting in as much as they can civilians, not just military bases, but civilians, schools, hospitals. And again, in the goodness of God, and part of the protecting the people of Israel with the Iron Dome, it has really saved literally tens of thousands of lives. A few years ago, one of those missiles landed in our street, just a few homes from us. And the sharpeners for me just were, you know, if people were in the area standing, it could kill literally hundreds of people. And so, you know, you think that, and I think one of the struggles I had as a Jewish people and as a Christian, you know, and I served in the military for about 19 years as a major in the IDF, is you see those images, you hear those stories. And not long ago, about 10 days ago, my wife and I were invited into the foreign ministry in Jerusalem with some bishops from Africa. And there was mother of one of the hostages that told the story of her son, Hirsch, that from one of the GoPro cameras that fell from the helmet of one of the terrorists, it was seen that her son was injured. His right arm was almost cut, and they dragged him into Gaza. For back then, for about almost 60 days, she has not heard one word about her son. Is he alive? What's his condition? And so, in one sense, as an Israeli, seeing those, I wanted to annihilate and destroy everything in Gaza. But Jesus said we need to love our enemies.
Amen. Can you pick up right where you left off there? Because we have to go to our final break. And sure. Don't go away, folks. We are going to be right back after these messages. If you have any questions to send, send them immediately, because we're rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, there is a new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey. It is gcbc-nj.org, gcbc-nj.org. So disregard the website that you heard in the commercial. And by the way, folks, please, I wanted to remind you that the Historical Bible Society, whose ads that you hear every day on this show, was founded and is run by its president, Daniel P. Buttafico, attorney at law. No matter where you live in the 50 states of the United States, if you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit the website 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, the law firm of Buttafico & Associates. Make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you contact them. We're now back with my guest, David Zadok, and you were just talking before the break about speaking with, I can't remember if it was one or two parents of someone who was kidnapped by the Hamas.
It was one of the mothers that she came to that meeting in the foreign ministry. And so I think that this is really where we are. And at the end of the day, again, we started the program with the sovereignty of God. I think we should certainly end it with the sovereignty of God. And I think that our hope and prayer is that through these dark times that we are going to, both as Israeli and the Palestinians in Gaza, that God would light the shine of Christ, the light of Christ. And I think that that's really, we feel that this is the time for us as a church, as a congregation, and as believers in the land to call our people to repentance and to faith in the Messiah. And our prayer is that also God would use this to bring many of the Palestinians to Christ, because Amen. Those people need Christ as bad as we need them.
Amen.
One of the things I've been doing on a personal level and to some friends is providing support for some of the Arab churches in the West Bank, and to some friends, to some of the Christians in Gaza, to provide them with food. Again, showing not just the love of Christ, but the unity that we have in Christ, even though we are Israelis and Palestinians, and our two countries, or not country, Palestine is not a country, but our two nations are in a war, but we are still brothers in Christ.
Amen.
As hard as it is.
Amen. And it was very moving to hear how, you know, your guttural instantaneous reaction might have been to annihilate those involved in the terrorist attacks against your people, but it that quickly changed to, because of your new heart in Christ, to having compassion for their lost condition. And that's something that we all should learn from.
This war has taught us a lot, no doubt, about ourselves, about man, depravity of man, and about the light of Christ. And we are now celebrating Hanukkah, the Feast of Light. And Christ said that he is the light of the world. We hope that his light would shine even more brighter in these days and in our times. It's almost like a diamond. When you put a diamond in the background of the black velvet,
yes,
it shines even greater.
Well, I want to remind our listeners of your website. If anyone wants to find out more about Grace and Truth Congregation and Knot Israel, and perhaps to find out how they could support your labors there in a very important place in the world, go to graceandtruth.org. It's graceandtruth.org dot IL for Israel. Graceandtruth.org dot IL for Israel. It has been such an honor and a privilege to have you on the program. I look forward to many frequent returns by you to be interviewed again if you are willing. And my door in this studio is always open to you, brother, so I hope to be speaking with you again very soon.
Okay, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate that, and I'm getting familiar with your radio program. I saw some of the folks that recommended it. Many of them, my dear friends, including John MacArthur. We have a great partnership in our publishing with Ligonier Ministries, and Steve Lawson was, when I did my doctorate degree at Masters, he was the head of the program.
Praise God. Well, I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.